Feels good. We're just really glad to see everybody. And I know we have some visitors. I just wanted to welcome you. We're really glad you're here. Some first time folks. And it's just a pleasure. It's just a pleasure. We enjoy worshiping God together, and we're here to enjoy Him as we're going to be doing forever, enjoying Him forever. I wanted to say this is a real special day. What's today?
Father's Day.
And the word says to give honor to whom honor is due, and that's what we're going to be doing today here, and I know you all are going to be doing that later as well. And I was thinking about fatherhood. You know, there are those that don't have natural children sometimes in this life, but they're spiritual fathers. You know, they care and disciple and encourage those that are birthed into the kingdom. And I remembered the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians. He said, there are not many fathers in the faith. And of course he was a great father, a great spiritual dad. So I wanted to acknowledge those two that might not be natural fathers, but your spiritual fathers. And that's hugely, hugely important. Well, let's just pray and thank God. Lord, we just thank you so much for giving us the privilege to gather together today in your presence. You said that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, there you're right there in our midst. You're right there among us. Thank you. If your spirit wasn't here with us, it wouldn't be worth it to be here. Father, so we come here to honor you, and you are the best father. You are the example of fatherhood. You're our champion father. You are the one that we emulate as dads. And we want to say happy Father's Day to those that are natural fathers here, but we also want to say happy Father's Day to you. You're a great dad. You're the best, Lord. And Father, help us today as we seek to honor those. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I don't get to speak very often here, and I thought, you know, I'm going to take a little privilege, and that this song that we just sang is very special to me, particularly because of it ties in with Father's Day, the spiritual heritage that we pass on to our children, and our children pass on to their children, and I wish we had what do you call the project? Yeah, there's a special name for it. I don't know. Overhead. And I can't put that on, but I can at least let you hear the music, the song. And this song is my daughter Laura is teaching Adele scripture, and she's teaching Adele songs, and I used all my grandfatherly influence to try to coax my granddaughter up here to sing her Heaven Came Down, but I just didn't have enough influence there. But I do have the recording. Thank the Lord. So my granddaughter is probably, oh no. You know, she's got to get used to grandparents doting on them. But anyway, some of you might be, you know, you won't be able to see, but at least you'll be able to hear. I hope this comes out all right. But this is Adele.
Now I'm going through my snow. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away. I know it.
Me too.
No, let's do it.
Oh, come on. You want to start over?
Yeah. How are you doing? Really quiet.
Okay.
Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away. And my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Yay! She was too shy to do that in person, but you got the recorded version. My wife saved me with that. Now, we're going to be blessed. Debbie and Bill are going to do a song song together. And come on down. Come on up.
As I go, soon as I'm invited to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky, I shall wing my flight to the worlds unknown. I shall ring with him on high. Jesus, Jesus, fills my every longing and keeps me singing as I go. I'm singing a melody and harmony. He keeps me singing as I go.
Wonderful people, too little understood. And we do not sing their praises as often as we should. But fathers are just wonderful in a million different ways, and they merit loving compliments and accolade of praise. For the only reason Dad aspires to fortune and success is to make the family proud of him and to bring them happiness. And like our Heavenly Father, he's a guardian and a guide, someone that we can count on to always be on our side. Happy Father's Day, and the ladies are going to pass out something to you. And we're so glad to have you all with us.
Before I proceed any further, we have some dear friends, Chuck and Jenny Lewis. They're from Morgantown, West Virginia. They lead a college ministry that reaches out to internationals. You know, in Morgantown, the University of West Virginia, there's folks from all over Asia, and they primarily, I think, reach out to the Chinese students. And dear friends of ours are staying with us tonight. Just wanted to honor them. Thanks for coming, Chuck and Jenny. Faithful stewards of God's grace. Well, I wanted to just start out by saying I'm a very blessed father, and I'm overwhelmed by two godly daughters, two wonderful son-in-laws, four great grandchildren, not great grandchildren, but four great grandchildren. And I'm very, very proud of them all, and they're here today. That makes me even more blessed. And I'm not gonna say any more because I'll just start crying. Thank you. I don't want to do that. So I better keep going. Anyway, God has been so very, very good to me, and I wanted to, my children make me look a lot better than I am. I tell you that. They're just that wonderful. Which brings me to a favorite story of mine that exemplifies my superior parenting legacy and skill. When my girls were little, we had a routine of we'd lie down with them. Laura would take Debbie and I would take Lee. You know, we'd switch back and forth. And, you know, we would just do the little, you know, talk about their day, snuggle a little bit until they went to sleep, and then we'd go to bed. And, so one night, Laura comes to me and she says, Dad, she goes, it wasn't her turn. It was Leah's turn. She says, Dad, could I lay down with you tonight? And I went, oh, isn't that so sweet? You know, I'm like that. And so I was looking for good reason, or I was looking for, oh, you're just a wonderful dad. And I said, honey, why did you want to lay down with Dad? And she looks at me kind of puzzled and hesitant a second. She goes, have you ever heard of runts? And I paused and I said, runt? I mean, I know hair rinse, but runt? She goes, no, Dad. She said, She said, runts, let me just show you what runts are. These are runts. They are little candies shaped in the form of five fruits. There's a little banana, a little orange, you know, a little lime, a little lemon, a little grape like that. And she said, Leah really wanted to lay down with Mom tonight. And she said, she told me that she would give me 10 runts if I would let... You can just see this big balloon head that I had just go like this. And in defense of my girls, usually when my head hits the pillow, you know, like 15 seconds later, I'm out. So they don't get much of the little chatter and talk that they enjoy. So Leah wanted to have Mom's attention that night. So I have to defend them a little bit. But so anyway, that's an example of that's one special I wanted to share with you. And I wanted also, on a more serious note, I wanted to tell you of another fatherly moment, in my parenting. You know, parents are usually real good at teaching correct behavior and, telling their kids the rules. You know, this is what we do, this is what we don't do. And one day, you know, just God speaks. You know, just God speaks, usually when you don't expect it. And I felt the Lord say, son, you've done well in teaching them the right behavior, but you haven't talked much about grace. You haven't explained to them how they're primarily to relate to me. It's not about, you know, our relationship. It's not about rules. It's not about a list of do's and don'ts. It's a relationship based on undeserved favor. And that made me pay attention. That made me make sure that they understood how they are to relate to God. And to a degree, you know, that's how they relate to their parents as well. So I wanted to take off at. And the best way that we can father our children, the most valuable advice and example that we can give and live to whom God gives us to influence, is an understanding of the grace of God, an understanding how we stand in right favor with a holy God. I heard a man actually last week, a teacher, and he said, we cannot change anyone, but we can influence them. You know, and I should have known that by now, but that was a revelation to me. You know, we can't change. We can't change ourselves. It takes the grace of God, but we can influence them. And I wanted to remind us this morning of what, just to remind us of the gospel, just to remind us of the good news that we are sharing with those that we have the privilege to do that with. I'd like to say I love to share my faith, and when I'm talking to folks, I usually ask them in the conversation shortly after if I have that opportunity, and it's a privilege, I ask them, oh, are you a Christian? You know, when we're in our conversation, and usually people will say, they'll respond something like this. They'll say, Yes, I was baptized as a child, I pray every day, and I try to live a good life. They'll tell me something perhaps of their family. My grandfather was a minister, and we grew up. We have a long legacy of Christianity in our family, yes, I'm a member of such and such church, or I give money to such and such ministry or church, or a little bit opposite of that. You know, I don't feel like I have to go to church to be a Christian. You know, I'm close to God out in nature. And, you know, there's a number of responses, but what that helps me to immediately understand is that they're leaning against the wrong tree. I'm being picky or anything like that. I'm just drawing them out and finding out basically what they're depending on for their right standing with God. And they'll usually give me, I made a note on my notes, that most of those responses were I involved. Yes, I do this, I do that, I do this, I do that. And I'd like to share some scripture with you that shows that, that our first response to that question, if it starts with an I, it's not theologically correct. Let's just put it that way. That's not how God instructs us. I was going to share a story. You know, have you ever seen America's Funniest Videos when there's like 4.5 people on the swing on the front porch? You know, the 4.5 is the one that's a little bit heavy, and they're just going to town on that front swing, and it's on America's Funniest Videos. So you know what's going to happen, right? And then all of a sudden the chain gives way, you know, and they come down hard. And I was thinking of an example. Those folks, they're depending on that chain for support. They're depending on that to be their safety. And of course it's overloaded and it doesn't work. And as an example of what we depend on in our lives as far as our standing with God. But threw that in there, no extra charge. I'd like to turn your attention. Our text is Romans chapter 3. Could you turn there? There's a Bible in front of you, hopefully, because I'd like you to follow along if you can. Romans chapter 3. And I'd like to read what the Bible says about our condition as human beings. And so I'm going to start about verse 9, Romans chapter 3. For we have already charged, see if you can see yourself in this picture. For we have already charged, both Jew and Greek are under sin, as it is written. None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throats are an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their path are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That is a potent section of scripture. None righteous. No one seeks God. All have turned aside. No one is good. Not even one. Is it easy for you to say, yes, I understand that. That's how the Bible describes, me apart from God in any way. I'd like to suggest that it's critical that we do, because if we don't, acknowledge and confess our sins, and not only our sins, you know, we do sin, but our heart, the Bible describes our heart as being, such a clear verse is in Genesis 5, chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. It talks about our heart being, despitefully wicked, and every intent of our heart being evil continually. Now, I want to say, oh, isn't that good news? No, that's, you have to know the bad news first before you appreciate the good news. So that's just a necessary part of our understanding and our ability to respond to God as He offers us His grace. Well, let's continue. I want to read verses 19 and 20. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. Uh, I'm sorry, I'm going to very briefly. It says, what do these say? They say that we'll all be held accountable to God, that that no work of the law will ever justify us in his sight. And that's how we know what sin is, because we understand God's law. If it wasn't for the law, we wouldn't know what sin is. I'm going to take just a moment. I want to make sure I follow my notes, because if I don't, you'll be sorry, I'll be sorry. Okay, now let's look at how God has solved our biggest problem. Let's continue on. We're going to start with verse 21 and go to verse 25. The first description of Romans and our sinful condition, and then what the law is for, that's to put us in a place. That's the bad news. Now we're going to hear about the good news. This is the best news. And in Christ. But now the righteousness of God has been manifest apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forth as a atoning sacrifice by his blood, to be received by faith. How does this God given righteousness come? This righteousness that Paul is saying, that Paul is acknowledging, you need righteousness. You need the right standing with God. And we don't have it. We are sinners in need of a Savior. And Paul tells us how we are to receive this righteousness that God offers to us, to be in right standing with us. And how does it come? How does it come? Well, it says it comes not through the law anymore. It's not through, can I successfully obey the Ten Commandments? Can I succeed in the rules that I've given myself for the things that please God? It's good to live a righteous life, but that's not how our right standing comes before this God. It says it comes not through the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift. That's incredibly good news. Every time I read that particular verse in verse 24 and says, and are justified by his grace as a gift, just a gift. He gives it to us. It's a gift. He gave it to us in the form of his son. It's an amazing thought that it's not something that can be earned. A gift is not something that can be earned. It can only be received. I have a short example that I like to bring. Do you remember that in the Old Testament, when the Israelites, they were commanded, there was a certain sacrificial system that they had to go through to gain forgiveness. They were instructed that they were to bring a lamb to a priest, and that priest's job, part of the job, was to examine the lamb and make sure the lamb was without blemish. If the lamb had a skin disease, if the lamb had a broken leg, if there's anything wrong with the lamb, it disqualified for the sacrifice. And so that was part of the priest's job. And the priest would examine it very carefully. That was part of his duties. And then he would sacrifice. He would sacrifice the lamb, and that temporarily it postponed the forgiveness of sin. It temporarily satisfied God until the sending of his son, Jesus, to be that perfect lamb on our behalf. But the point of this example was that the priest didn't look at the man bringing the sacrifice, because that wasn't the man bringing the sacrifice was a sinful man, and the sin could not be atoned for by a sinful man. But it says in the scriptures that, you know, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That's clear. And so that picture, and that's a picture of Christ as God looks at us, and as we are dependent on Jesus, that perfect Lamb of God. He relates to us with favor because we've placed our trust and our faith in the sending of the Son, who Jesus was and what he came to do on our behalf. And that's an amazing picture, particularly when there are times when we know ourselves all too well. We know our sinfulness. We know our failures. We know our shortcomings. And there are times when that seems overwhelming to us. You know, we just, and it's those times when the Lord reminds us, seeks to remind us, that when God looks at us, he looks at us through the filter of his Son, because we are in Christ. He looks at us through that filter, and because he looks at us through that filter, if Christ were removed, we no longer had him as our sacrifice, our atoning sacrifice, and God were to relate to us without the filter of his Son, his anger would be pointed towards us, his punishment, because God is completely without sin, and he has to judge sin. But he could justifiably forgive us if someone else has paid the penalty, if someone else took the bullet, if someone else shed their innocent blood. And that's the uniqueness of Jesus. He is the only one that could pay for our sin, because he was the only sinless sacrifice. He was the only rescuer that God sent for us. So I just stopped looking at my notes and started talking, because that's really what I wanted to share with you. I wanted to remind you of the gospel. I wanted to remind you of how you stand right before him. And it's only and solely and will ever be on what he has done on the cross completely. And that's the good news. You know, it's not about us. It's about him. And so I wanted to remind you of the gospel, and I also wanted to encourage you as there's no better way you can influence those that your friends, your relatives, your coworkers. There's no better way that you can influence them than to first understand their sinfulness, and second, see that their only hope is the Savior, nothing that they've ever done or will do, and then encouraging them to put their trust in who Jesus was, and who Jesus is, and what he did. So I'd like to take a moment in this group of people. I have no idea if there's anyone who has never abandoned their good works, abandoned what they're depending on for right standing with God. And if I'd like to pray with you, pray with me if there's anyone that has never done that and would like to. Today could be your special day. And It's an amazing gift to be received, but it does, again, require our confession and acknowledgement of sin and our dependence on Him. So let's pray. Father, Lord, thank You for reminding us of the good news. What an amazing, amazing Savior You are. What a God that You were to send Your only Son. Lord, we have an amazing story to tell. And Lord, I pray for perhaps someone here today that has never put their trust in what You've done for them. Has never. They're under Your wrath. They're under Your punishment. But God, You provided a way. And Lord, I pray, Father, if you're in that condition, pray a prayer like this. Lord, I confess my sin. I acknowledge what a terrible sinner I am. Lord, I acknowledge that I'm in desperate, desperate need of You and You alone. And I'd like to turn from my sin and put my faith in Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Lord, I'd like to become Your child. You truly will be a child of God. God will be your Father. And will relate to You like He relates to His dear Son. Lord, I pray, Father, for that grace in Jesus' name. Thank You so very much.